Next on BYUSN, the offseason underway for BYU men's basketball. One player has already entered the portal. How big of a deal is it? Plus, what are the top offseason priorities for head coach Kevin Young and his staff? And how have they already filled a roster spot?
ESPN's Sean Farnham is back on the program. His offseason priorities for the Cougars, fair expectations for next year, and who wins the NCAA tournament. And Peter Kim recaps his first place finish over the weekend for Cougar men's golf.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, March 31st. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who, with all of his brothers, celebrates every touchdown and every score. He is Jerem Jordan.
I wish, man. Kai and Samson Nakua yesterday, they play for the Michigan Panthers. I don't know how many Panthers are actually in Michigan, but this is Samson Nakua scoring a touchdown and then the game sealing pick six interception of 80 yards by one Kai Nakua. These guys are still playing. They both scored in the same game, which is pretty cool. They were asked after the game if they had both scored a touchdown in the same game. They have not, but Puka and Samson did against Virginia in 2021.
I love the celebration together.
Samson's
right there.
Somehow that's not a penalty, which is great. Kai, Samson, Puka are 3 years apart, respectively, if that makes sense. So, yeah, great stuff from the boys, Samson against Virginia. BYU put up 66, by the way, that day. It was incredible. And then, of course, Puka, who's doing it with the L.A. Rams. So, the Nakua boys. And then Tay Nakua is on the team. He's making plays in spring ball, we're seeing, which is pretty awesome.
Aaron Roderick talked about him during the alumni game and said he's had a nice little ascension and a rise in that receiver's room. The Nakua boys, they're built different.
That's what we expect from those
Tough
guys.
Tough to score a touchdown in the same game, and one of you plays defense, too.
Right? That's pretty impressive.
That is incredible. Plenty of reason to rise and shout on this Monday. Let's get to what's trending.
This was obviously a statement this season where it's like we're a force to be reckoned with in the Big 12 and nationally. The future at BYU is incredibly bright. It's exciting to think what we can build.
He could be one of the reasons why I want to be back.
Trust in KY and his staff.
What's trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Yes, it is time to put your trust in BYU head coach Kevin Young. Things, as we expected, are already beginning to move, beginning with this. BYU four-star freshman forward Cannon Catchings, the first BYU player to enter the transfer portal this offseason. Not a shocker for many. Catchings put his name in the portal officially on Saturday night. Jerem, let's assess how big of a potential loss is this for BYU and Kevin Young.
It is a bummer because we thought Cannon could be a guy that would flourish at BYU, perhaps be a one and done when he signed here and be like a late first, maybe second round guy. Not shocking. Frankly, I think emotionally he was in the portal the last couple of weeks. He was out of the rotation a bit. Certainly that probably influenced that. The knee injury did not help.
Certainly.
Didn't play against Wisconsin. Played a little bit. Against Alabama, didn't play in five games total this year. Some of those were DNP CD, did not play coach's decisions. The Baylor performance was incredible. That showed how high he could go, which was great. 23 points, 8 of 8 shooting, didn't miss. That
moments against that Arizona
first
as well.
Layup, high upside, 6'9", long, 7 points a game, 41% from the field. 35% from three was higher than maybe I thought, just feeling it out. 2.2 rebounds per game, a little low for a 6'9 guy to me, but we were hoping he could have a great experience here and have a massive influence on this team. And at times, he did have a big influence. He was in the starting lineup. He's the one that went to the bench when Mwit Mag went in. And then the season kind of changed for BYU. I don't like it when someone transfers and people just kind of dump on them and what they didn't do. I don't like that. I'm excited for what Cannon's going to do. This isn't shocking. Frankly, a couple weeks ago, this would have been the first guy in the portal I would have guessed. But yeah, best of luck to Cannon, and it's a bummer he's leaving.
Wildly talented, huge potential, and we saw those flashes. Have you ever wanted something?
No.
I mean, wanted to buy something so badly, okay? And it could be anything. It could be a car, it could be a type of house, it could be a vacation property, it could be a golf club for all I care.
Property? What?
Could
be how much do you think I make?
Could be a pair of shoes. I mean, anything. Like, where you wanted something, and you know the value it brings. And then when you get it, you're not really sure how to use it. Have you ever experienced that?
No.
You've never experienced that in your life.
I don't believe it. Not really.
I don't believe it.
Get to your point.
Okay, so my point is, if you're talking about a golf club in your golf bag, like, let's say it's the top technology. You know it's supremely crafted and it's a.
You've lost me already.
And at times you hit a good shot, and you do it a couple of times, but you cannot find the rhythm. You can't find a place. It's like, well, all of the reasons point to this should be working for me, but it doesn't fit in my bag. Okay, it could be anything. Anything you want. If you've ever wanted something and you have it, and then you're not really sure how to use it once you have it, I feel like this is Cannon Catchings for BYU, because he's going to go somewhere, and I believe he's going to be great. But it's so hard to overcome the. I just didn't think it wasn't the right fit. It wasn't the right fit.
Why is the question?
You tell me. I couldn't tell you. The coaches tried to figure out all year long.
Yeah, and it's never just one thing. Like, it was just the staff or just Cannon. It's always some combination of. What I don't know exactly what didn't work. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But you're not going to hit on everybody. Like, someone's going to leave that you didn't expect every year. That's how this works. Players have the ability to move. They're going to move. And either they're going to try and level up like Jackson Robinson did. Noah Waterman, I would say, was like a lateral move. You know, Kentucky, the perception of Kentucky was a move up. The actual what Kentucky did was lateral because it was both Sweet 16, right? But there's opportunities, and maybe he's getting more there, and I don't know. But, yeah, Cannon, you know, it's a bummer it didn't work out. Before the season, I think we would have thought, hey, this guy's going to be all freshman team in the Big 12. He's going to be a starter. He's going to average, like, 12-plus. Unfortunately, it did not work out for whatever reason. Best of luck to Cannon.
It is so
difficult.
Well,
Miss Tamika Catchings in the Marriott Center. That was fun.
Great family. Enjoyed the deep blue piece that we did on Cannon and his family.
Absolutely.
Love those people. Again, huge, hugely talented. He's got a wild upside. And I believe that he's going to go somewhere and find the right fit.
And it's a freshman year, too. Like, it's not all just roses and strawberries and everything's amazing. Like, it takes time to figure it out in the Big 12 on a team that's Sweet 16 good. Like, he at times he was an important piece in the rotation, right? And the last couple weeks, not so much.
Yes, it did. Again, on occasion, it was like, okay, this is working, but it just didn't work consistently. The fit was not consistent.
Yes, and the staff
That's
is going
to
play
overcome.
The players that work to win, right? They're not going to cater to what anything else other than that. BYU reportedly also is going to sign a 6'8 transfer from Washington. This is one of those we can't mention their names until they sign situations. You remember that with Diego last year? Do you like the reported pickup for Kevin Young and BYU? And of note, we will put a tweet on the screen, and you can see the information there. We will not reference said name, but what are your thoughts on this?
Yes, I like this unnamed signing.
And there it is.
Here's why. Because I trust the staff, Jerem.
Yeah, yeah.
They have been, on more than one occasion, spot on. They haven't been perfect, clearly.
Right.
It's never going to be perfect.
They're not going to be.
It's not going to be perfect. It's not perfect anywhere with every commit you go after.
You have to shoot your shot, and you're going to miss sometimes. It's okay. Not everyone is Alabama making 25 threes in the portal, if you will.
Here's what I like.
Too soon, I'm still upset also.
Long, athletic, and at times a proven scorer, and another guy with international experience, Jerem. I love the moxie that this player brings to BYU. And again, my number one is I trust the staff, and I trust their ability to assess talent. And I love to see their ability to recruit international talent. Oh, I love it so much. So, yeah, I'm buying into this. And it's NBA length. It's NBA athleticism. This is a guy that will fit absolutely in Kevin Young's in the vision that he has for BYU basketball in year two.
He was thought to be, coming out of France in the U21 Pro League there, a possible second-round guy. That's if he had come out last year. He did not. He got an injury that kind of derailed that. Goes to Washington, gets hurt, and redshirts.
Yep.
Okay, he never plays,
so he's coming in.
Couldn't
show what he can do.
Exactly. So I'm told he's an elite upside guy, could be a major steal. Elite athlete, elite size and strength, great slasher. They hope that he can be a 3-and-D guy like Mawit Mag. That's the idea with him. Perhaps he's coming off the bench to start, but he seems like a guy who will be in the rotation, and I think this is a nice move. Is he a straight up replacement for Mawit Mag out of the gates? Maybe not out of the gates, but maybe eventually.
It might be a replacement in part for Cannon Catchings.
Perhaps, yeah. I like that. So this is a nice pickup, a rotational piece that has a huge upside. There was some NBA chatter about him, right? Like, Yeah, that reminds me of Cannon quite a bit.
He shot 52%
defense there
in his last full season, in his last largely unimpeded season until injury. 52% from the field.
Well, we're seeing why. He's dunking a lot.
Pretty stinking good. Yes, that NBA length and athleticism, ability to play defense, guard those tough players that inevitably are going to be all over the Big 12.
Yeah.
It's a guy that can compete with the Houstons and the Texas Techs of the world, right? I love that. Okay, in your opinion, based on what we have been talking about, BYU loses Cannon Catchings. They pick up a key international transfer. We'll mention his name once it becomes official. But in your opinion, what are BYU men's basketball's top priorities this offseason?
Well, one is four letters, E-G-O-R. Mm. Yegor Demon is the top priority in the offseason. If he can come back, that changes the upside for BYU. The second would be Mr. Orida himself, Richie Saunders. I don't see Richie transferring to another school. That's my sense, hearing and talking to Richie quite a bit the last couple of weeks. But he's going to see what's out there in pro potential. My guess is that he'll see, he'll hear that it's kind of second round-ish, and then he'll come back, and then he'll have a senior year, and he'll go out, of course, after that. The third would be retain Kay Bakeda. Kay Bakeda is going to be a wanted man in a good way with NIL. BYU needs to retain Kay Bakeda. If you can retain those three pieces, and you bring in AJ, and you bring in portal pieces, which I'll address in a moment, now that is a team that can really do something. A few portal pieces. I would say straight up, let's say you lose Yegor Demon, and you lose the four seniors. You would need a point guard. You would need a shooter. You would need a 3-and-D guy. Maybe this piece we talked about would be good, but I would say add a veteran 3-and-D guy. And a post player who can defend and rebound. If he has some offensive skill set of getting a bucket down low, that's great. In this modern time, you don't have to have that kind of player per se to be successful, but it's nice. So those are some of the pieces. It feels like I asked for a lot right there in what I just listed. But if we're thinking that with A.J. DiBonta, Kevin Garnett said anything is possible, then let's see those pieces come together that give BYU a chance to be playing in the Final Four if they're that good.
Solidify your assets is where you need to start and end this conversation. What happens when you're under any type of physical or finance, let's say financial duress? You want to solidify your assets. And right now, Kevin Young's assets are his veteran players, beginning with Yegor Demon and Richie Saunders. Like, if you can solidify those two pieces, I believe that those two in your own little personal stock market of the BYU basketball roster will encourage others to hop on board and invest.
Do you think that Yegor is coming back is more likely after the conversation you had with him?
Yes.
I do too. I thought he was gone, but after that, I thought, oh, there's a chance he comes back.
The door is absolutely open.
There's a chance he comes back.
For
we'll
him
see.
To come back. And Kevin Young talked about how personal of a decision it is.
Yeah.
And that he will give him the best advice to, because of his NBA backdrop. And what a huge advantage this is for BYU to have Kevin Young in that position to be able to give valid NBA draft feedback. It's not just
right,
a coach.
Right.
Like, he's going to tell Yegor exactly how he is valued and viewed by all of the NBA personnel.
It's a win-win, no matter what happens. If Yegor leaves and he's a lottery pick, now you've started that trend.
Yep. Draft train's
going. If he comes back, now you're a top. BYU might be a top 10 team. If Yegor Demon and A.J. DiBonta are on the roster next year, they might be preseason top 10. And Richie, I would dare say they'll be top 12 for sure.
If BYU can
secure
the biggest assets, yeah, we'll see what happens with Yegor Demon. But
yes,
if you can go back and get Richie Saunders and you can bring back Kay Bakeda.
I would think Richie and Kay will come back. I'm just saying you have to ensure that.
If those pieces are firmly in place, I believe that that would naturally make anybody else who's maybe on the fence feel way more comfortable about coming back and running it back again and seeing what this team can become if they can get back to another Sweet 16.
Plus.
Obviously, if Yegor comes back, then you add him to AJ, and then you think about Richie Saunders and Kay Bakeda.
And I'm interested to see, like, I would love Dallin Hall to be a huge part of this again.
You know how I feel about Dallin Hall.
Yeah. Love Dallin Hall. I thought he was arguably the best backup point guard in the country. Like, he's a starter at how many schools in the country? 320? 350?
Yes.
Like, he is an awesome – he's a very good player. Didn't have his best game against Alabama. Not everyone did for BYU. But I want Dallin Hall on the roster. I want Dawson Baker on the roster. I want all the dudes, because the more you can retain – three of the four teams in the Final Four, Spence, retained at least 68% of their guys.
Evan Miyakawa
Duke is the difference.
Our stats friend Evan Miyakawa has tripled and quadrupled down on this. The best teams bring
retain
back – a lot of experience and retain their assets.
Yes.
Retain your best players.
And then add quality pieces, obviously. I still think out of the portal, BYU needs like two meaningful pieces. You think about what Mawit Mag's influence was on this team as a one-and-done grad transfer from Rutgers. BYU needed Mawit to win the games they won.
Did BYU just get one, though, that we talked about?
I'm talking about they need a veteran. This kid is not a veteran. He's a high upside guy. BYU needs a veteran that can influence this team. Perhaps a couple. They'll have veterans that they hope return, but you're losing four seniors plus Cannon. Like, these are meaningful losses. Like, you're going to have to replace these guys with role players who are awesome. Because AJ is going to be a high usage guy. If Yeager comes back, high usage guy. You need shooters. Like, there are other pieces that we're talking about. And for the first time in recorded history in BYU basketball, in my opinion, we're talking about if you get the right pieces around AJ, and if you can retain Yeager, Richie, Kaba, kind of that main core there, we're talking about some territory maybe BYU's never been to. That would be exciting. You can always get upset in the first, second round, whatever, Sweet 16. But, like, the ceiling would be higher than maybe it's ever been for BYU.
The chances of doing and recapturing what you had this season, understandably, shoot up exponentially.
Yes.
If you can bring these guys back.
Yes.
That core. The core. We were so excited about the core that was coming back, and we knew it would take time to mesh with the new parts, and it did. It was beautiful. So why would we believe that anything different is capable of happening if you bring back the core of guys that have been developed now under Kevin Young and this staff?
And that includes Dawson Baker, Dallin Hall, like those guys too.
What does Mihailo Boskovic do?
Mihailo too, yeah, all of it. There's not a dude on the roster that I would say, nah, we're good. There's not a dude left.
Xavion Staton is a name we have not brought up. He comes in too.
To me, backup
young
center.
Rim protector.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So defense, Chamberlain Burgess is going to go on a mission.
Yep.
What is Brody Kozlowski's role here?
I want Brody to be the backup stretch four. That's what I want.
BYU has a lot of talent here. Can they retain the primary assets? Let's go.
What does Elijah Crawford do? Is he going to be the like, if Yeager comes back, Elijah's situation becomes a little tougher.
And it depends on probably what Dallin does.
It depends on what Dallin, yeah. We'll see with Elijah. Like, the decision is out there for all these guys to make individually, and we don't know all the motivations of every guy.
Our question of the day: what is your top priority for BYU men's basketball
Yeager
this offseason? At Blue Goggles on X says, in all caps, convince Yeager to stay. Exactly. If he decides to pursue the NBA, I wish him nothing but the best.
Win-win, baby. Either way.
But imagine the pick and rolls with him, AJ and Xavion. It would be like the Lob City Clippers, but better.
Ooh, it's pretty good with DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. Although I can do without those Blake Griffin podcast commercials. I'll tell you that.
The jam.
Nice, Ralph.
Ralph Waller.
Okay, nice. Big news this morning. BYU Athletic Director Tom Homo, won't be able to say that for many more months, announced the hiring of Lee Kamard as the women's basketball coach. Kamard's been an assistant on the staff since 2019. What do you make of this hire?
I'm glad for a couple of reasons. One, the timeliness of it. BYU needed to name their coach so they don't get so left behind with the transfer portal opening up. It's time to go to work. Secondly, I believe that Lee will be a key component, if not the primary component, in bringing back Kaylee Woolston to play at BYU.
It's Sister Woolston.
Sorry.
Please respect
Sister Woolston, calling, who is in the portal. She got in the portal while she was on. She's currently on her mission. Hopped in the portal.
Hold on. Could I have done that on my mission to go to a different place? Like, I didn't like where I was. I could have told my mission president, I'm in the transfer portal. Like, I want to transfer to a different city. I didn't know that could happen. Oh, I can't? My bad.
I believe that Lee in place will bring Kaylee Woolston back to BYU. Very confident that happens.
And
now
retain Delaney Gibb.
Yes. They, not surprisingly, the team right now, the key components of that team, the core, the assets of the women's basketball team, all love Lee and what he does as a coach.
Anyone that gets to know Lee loves Lee. There's not a person that gets to know Lee that doesn't like him. He's awesome. He's a great person. He's a great coach. He's one of the best players. To me, he's one of the top 20 players to ever play at BYU. He is awesome. So can he retain a lot of this team? Obviously, Amari Whiting already to Oklahoma State. I understand why Amari would not want to be at BYU after her mom was
let go. All three of the key freshmen, Cambry Barber, Brindley Cannon, and Delaney Gibb, that was a trio of awesome freshmen that BYU had this year.
Absolutely.
So can you bring those three back? And
good
then...
young core, but I'm tired of saying that the last 2 years. Good young core, good young core. Okay, it's time to take
time
a step forward.
Which would be a winning season, frankly.
And a winning season is a nice first year, Spence, but it's like, let's get to the tourney here. Let's go. Can you be the fifth place team in the Big 12 and go to the tourney? Absolutely.
So happy for Lee. I think he's deserved. And I love that he's worked with Jeff Judkins' staff and this most recent staff. He has seen a lot of basketball. He's ready for this.
He was running the offense this year. He's been in the X's and O's. First time head coach opportunity for Lee Kmart. Congrats to him, man.
I'm interested to see what
press
he does
with coming up today at 3:30 local time.
Interested to see what he does with some open assistant coach positions as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you fill the staff?
What does he do there? Softball taking on Utah Valley. Beat them up pretty good last week. Did they do it again? Coming up at 8 Eastern. I know that says tonight on the graphic. It's tomorrow, isn't it?
It's tomorrow. It's right? tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. Just making sure.
If it's tonight, I'm in trouble.
Just making sure. Wanted to be clear there.
I'm in big trouble if it's tonight. Up next, keep it rolling at the ESPN, Sean Farnham. How does he believe BYU builds off this Sweet 16 season? And is it fair for fans to expect something similar next year as far as a run goes? This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
It's never been more exciting, I think.
You go get Kevin Young, who a lot of people thought wasn't necessarily going to be an option, and now look at what he's done in year one. I think if you're a BYU fan, you should be absolutely thrilled with the overall state of your program and certainly the leadership that you're getting out of Kevin Young.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan joining us now. And sadly, because the BYU basketball season has wrapped up, he won't be joining us every week, but he will be back.
Wait, what? Why?
Or maybe he will. We'll find out. Let's bring him in. ESPN Sean Farnham is back on BYU Sports Nation. The man needs to rest at some point.
Don't say goodbye.
Oh, wait. Listen, this is temporary. But
listen, it's not about the time that we won't be sharing. It's about the time that we have shared.
Yes.
And I think that's what we all need to remember in this moment. Yeah,
it's the friendship it's made along the way.
Amen to
there
that.
We go.
All right. We just heard you kind of and as you opined about Kevin Young and what he's done in his first year. But now that it's officially over and BYU's run came to an end in the Sweet 16 in a blowout loss to Alabama, albeit, but still in the Sweet 16. How would you overall assess what happened at BYU in year one under Coach Young?
Well, first of all, they ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, literally a buzzsaw. And I've been there, guys. I've been there in the Sweet 16 and played well in the first two rounds. And all of a sudden, UCLA shows up in the Sweet 16 and you get blitzed by like 20. And you're like, what was that? How did that happen? And obviously, outer body experience with Alabama's ability to knock down threes in that game. But I think overall, you look at what transpired and the process of getting there. You know, I remember there was a time I came on this show early in conference play and you guys were like, do you think we can get to 10-10? Is 10-10 good enough to make the NCAA tournament? You know, and look at where they ended up. 14 wins in conference play, a home color uniform in the NCAA tournament, advancing to the Sweet 16. I think all of those things are huge building blocks and foundational pieces to clearly what this program is going to be under Kevin Young, the type of program he wants to have. And then also more importantly, stylistically, how he plays, how he coaches. I think all of those things have now been firmly laid out for everybody to see, whether it's transfers, whether it's freshmen, doesn't really matter. I think this program is going to maintain its very high level of expectations.
Certainly huge expectations, as you mentioned, AJ DiBonsa coming in. Yet, where do you start the conversation with offseason priorities for the Cougars?
All right, Twitter guy, by the way, that just you guys read in the last segment. Let me just clarify something. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan, slightly better than the three that you'll have at BYU next year.
Well,
just
let's
saying.
Play it out.
Just saying. But no, listen, I think that, you know, you guys are very astute. I think one more than anything, retention. Like, who can you get back? You've got to get those pieces moving pretty quick, by the way. You've got to have a good sense, at least. Would not surprise me if Yegor and Richie both tested the draft waters. The problem with that is, are you holding those two spots, waiting for them, and allowing others that might be able to come in and play right away be able to be, you know, to go elsewhere because you're holding those two spots. Clearly, those two guys are worth holding spots for. But I think it's more about obtaining the information right now. And I'm sure that's what Kevin Young is doing for both of them, is this is where they see you right now. This is where you'd be slotted according to most NBA front offices. And again, you have a coach that has direct lines of communications to all of those teams to give them actual information that is tangible. I think that's very valuable in this moment. Then it becomes a personal decision outside of that. But I think when you look and you say, okay, if you get those two pieces back, you're golden. Obviously the other parts and components, the dominoes that may fall if they do come back or if they do leave, changes as far as your approach. The other big thing that people have to realize is the transfer portal is going to move very quickly this year because the impending judgment that is expected to come down actually on Championship Monday, April 7th, will start to limit or put into effect that $21.5 million NIL thing that the judge is determining. If the judge makes its determination on that, which it's expected that she will, that will go into effect on July 1. However, if you are in the portal and you sign before April 7th, a lot of teams and a lot of universities are front-loading NIL contracts to be paid out before June 30th, so it doesn't count against the settlement because of the fact that their NIL agreement was put into place prior to the judgment being made, which keeps them away from all of that money. And it's allowing them to front load, get players paid a little bit more. So I think that's why you're going to see very quick movement in the transfer portal right now. And it's very important also, by the way, quick movement in regards to retention of your players. You lock in those deals, you can front load them right away if you have the cash available to you. And then it allows you to have a better opportunity to pay those returning players a little bit more to make sure that they're locked in and staying.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk about some of BYU's biggest assets on the roster right now. Understandably, fans are very, very interested in what Yegor Demian decides to do. So, Sean, let's assess what BYU is with Yegor coming back and without. How much of an impact would it make based on what he ultimately decides to do, if that's go to the NBA or come back for a second year?
I think his decision is really tough because there was so much growth throughout the course of the year. I mean, just look at how he played in the last two games as far as, you know, not turning the ball over, not being loose with it. And I think, as we mentioned earlier on, there's like twofold to that. One is the guys had to get used to being ready to catch the ball at any point in time because his court vision and court awareness is so good. He started shooting the ball better down the stretch. He was much more assertive as far as a scorer. Some of his mid-range moves were outstanding where he would stop, pull back, little fadeaway jump shots. I think he showed a really complete game. And I think that if he comes back, I think thinking that BYU could be potentially a top 10 team is not out of the equation. If he goes, I think that there's a chance that he is, you know, look, if you're in the lottery, you got to go. And there's a chance that he's going to be in the lottery just based on his vision and awareness, his size, and then the upside for coaches. They'll look at it and say, well, we can fix his shot even more. Not that his shot needs a tremendous amount of fixing. His form's really good, but it's just the consistency and the confidence in that shot. I'd be surprised, guys, to be honest, if he didn't go, based on kind of our projections at ESPN and where Jonathan Givony has him. And I think that the way he played down the stretch is going to even further intrigue scouts when you look at his size and skill set that he has. So I think it's a little bit tougher for me to see a path where he comes back. If he doesn't come back, I think then obviously you need to go out and get an elite playmaker at the point guard position. Dallin Hall is very capable, obviously. We've seen that this year and before this year, even go back to the year ago when he was playing like 30 minutes a game. He's more than capable of being a lead guard and certainly play big moments. But I think you do want to try to see if you can get somebody in that echelon of a transfer that believes that they could potentially go to that next level and that they are excited about the opportunity to play with AJ in a system that Coach Young operates in.
What kind of portal guys and types of guys do you think BYU needs to add?
I think that they're going to need shooting. I mean, obviously, I think that's always a key component. And certainly the way that they played this year with some of the losses that you have, you want to continue to find guys that can stretch the floor. I think most importantly, I think that if you're going to be a national championship quality team, I think a lot of that comes down to your ability to defend and rebound. So I think length on that back line is going to become much more important for BYU. They need to get taller. They need to have more impact in the paint than they had this season. And if you're able to do that, I think it's going to start to make everything else work well. I'm looking at this graphic. Are you guys telling me that Trevin Nell is not available to come back again?
Amazingly, like,
so sad.
Amazingly,
I mean, no. I mean, look, the guy graduated high school the same year as Trae Young. It might be time. but I'm going to miss Trevin. I'm going to miss Trevin a lot. I make jokes about it, but he's been a great player and embodies a lot of what BYU is all about. There's no doubt about it. But I do think length in particular underneath and size is going to be important for BYU moving forward.
Yeah, tough to say goodbye to a 43% three-point shooter in Trevin Nell.
I thought you were going to say 43-year-old. So, I mean, I was like, okay.
And a 40% free-throw shooter in Muat Mag. Then there's the cannon catching situation. We saw some, at times, huge upside. Just never felt like the right fit consistently, Sean. And that's so tough to overcome because you know that he's supremely talented, but it just didn't seem to fit consistently. So how do you assess the whole cannon catching's experiment with BYU and him moving on now in the portal?
It's fine. I mean, you see this all the time. You know, if they were in this modern day of college basketball, I thought there were great moments early on in the season, but I think as the season went on, his role continued to diminish. And I think that told you a lot about where he currently was situated. And in today's world, I mean, it's interesting, and I'm not faulting anybody that does this. And Cannon is not, I'm certainly not faulting Cannon for going ahead and looking at going somewhere else. But, you know, back in the day when you didn't play a lot or you wanted your role to change, you know what you did? You worked harder. But that's no longer the pathway that a lot of people take. They want to reset. And I think that's kind of this video game era. Like, you know, I'm losing in Madden. Let me go ahead and just reset it and I'll play another game. And I think that we see that across the board. And so I hope for him that he's able to find a good reset in a system and a program where he feels like his role is going to be consistent and that is going to continue to develop him, because I think that he is an NBA talent. I told you guys early on, I did not think he was going to be an NBA talent this year, regardless of this late first round stuff that we were talking about in January. I thought he was going to have to come back. I thought if he came back, he would have really benefited from Coach Young and playing certainly with AJ and having an increased role on next year's roster. But that this is his decision. And again, I wish all the kids that get into the portal a happy landing spot. And certainly we've seen that even play out with teams in the NCAA tournament that are still in the Final Four, how much of their roster came through the transfer portal. And I'm sure that he will garner a lot of attention, good NIL money, and hopefully, again, for his journey and his positioning of what his dreams and his aspirations are, I hope he lands in a great spot.
All right, Sean, in our final 30 seconds, who wins?
Sorry.
All good.
I just coughed and said Purdue at the same time. It's crazy.
Nice.
All right, go ahead.
Who wins on Final Four Saturday and on National Championship Monday?
I'm hoping I do, guys. Let's just be honest. With Tater Tot King, Reggie Saunders, I do want to put this out there. If indeed there is a commercial made, I better be the sports announcer with Jerem on the call.
Let's go.
Of the commercial so that we can get a little piece. I don't want to take any of Richie's money.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to be part of the commercial. I don't think that's too much. I don't.
It was step Jerem, two, and then you were step three. It's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, I said it on ESPN. It kind of blew up, even though they inaccurately gave it to Roxy Bernstein credit for it. I was the one that said it. I'm sorry. Roxy, you don't get that. As far as the actual question that you asked me, I will answer that. I think that this is a great
Final
Four.
They're like, he's not even talking about
it. Yeah, they're like, graphic. Put it over Florida's face. Nobody wants to see him. I'll go with Florida, mainly because I don't believe that Jahni Broome, at least at this moment, that right arm is fully functional. We saw him come back, and that heart was great. But that thing was like basically taped to his side. He was one-arm rebounding. One-arm rebounding isn't going to work against the Florida Gators. Also, when they beat Auburn, they played without Elijah Martin. Elijah Martin will be playing this weekend for the Florida Gators. So I like Todd Golden, the Florida Gators, in the national championship game. I do, in my original bracket, I had Houston. I do think it's really tough to not put Duke in the national championship game at this point, based on the fact of this. I think Houston's going to go through a scoring drought. I don't think Duke will go through long scoring droughts. I do think it's a low, low scoring game. They played last year in the NCAA tournament 54-51. That was without Jamal Shedd for Houston, and obviously a very different Duke team this year than they had a year ago. But I do think that Houston will keep it tight. I do think it'll be a low scoring affair based on the elite level of both defenses, very different styles of defense. But I do have Duke and Florida in the national championship game on Monday night.
Sean, always great to talk with you and catch up with you. Can't wait to do this again at some point. So it's goodbye for the moment. Yes, my friend. Oh, so sad.
So long. Farewell.
Never say goodbye. Holding on to what we got. Hey, you know what? In all seriousness, BYU Nation, BYU Sports Nation, and the two of you, I want to say thank you for having me on a consistent basis. I never take for granted the opportunity to come on and talk about your program with the two of you. Your insight is always fun. Your questions are always great. The entire staff that's in the control room, your production crew is top-notch, the very best in the business. So credit to all of those. And I will miss you all. But I'm sure that you'll sign somebody out of the portal that you call me back for. And at that point, I'll be like, shoot, he's back again.
It's only a matter of time. Sean, you're the best. We'll talk to you
again
soon.
All right, save some cougar tails for me next year, all right?
You got it. We're on it. Always a delight. Sean Farnham on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU baseball is on the road this week, beginning tomorrow night. Game at Oral Roberts in Tulsa, Oklahoma at 7 Eastern on BYU Radio.
Still on the way, a 40-year-old record goes down. An impressive brace on the professional pitch. And a BYU team pulls off a top 10 upset. How about those headlines on the way? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Cannon Catchings has entered the transfer portal after one season in Provo. He averaged 7.2 points per game, shot 41% from the field, 35% from three, and 31 games played. And Pete Nakos from On3 Sports reports BYU signed a 6'8 transfer from Washington who redshirted last season. Can't mention his name until he officially signs, but there's a post on Twitter that we mentioned earlier. He averaged 16 points a game on 51% shooting 2 years ago in the France Pro A U21 League before redshirting at UW.
This morning, BYU Athletic Director Tom Holmo announcing the hiring of Lee Kamard as the next BYU women's basketball head coach. Kamard has been the interim head coach since the departure of Amber Whiting back on March 8th and has been an assistant on staff here at BYU since 2019, both under Judkins and Whiting. Kamard played for BYU men's hoops from 2005 to 2009, played professionally in some capacity from 2009 to 2016.
Samson Nakua and Kai Nakua both scored touchdowns for the Michigan Panthers in the 26-12 win over the Memphis Showboats in the UFL's opening weekend. Samson scored a 25-yard touchdown. Kai picked off former Utah quarterback Troy Williams. That's a fun little addition to that line. Returned the interception 80 yards for the game-sealing touchdown. Sticking with football, this just in moments ago, BYU announced the signing of four-star linebacker Nusi Talmoipeau this morning from Westlake High School, part of the 2025 class, 19th-ranked linebacker in the country, originally signed with Stanford, but since they let go of Troy Taylor last week.
Let's go.
He entered the portal, and boom, he's coming to the Cougars and playing this season.
Welcome home. Hey, BYU softball avoided the series sweep and beat 9th-ranked Arizona 9-4 in the finale of that three-game set at Miller Park on Saturday. BYU trailed 4-0 early, but then scored 9 unanswered runs thanks to home runs from Ilovea Brittingham, Kayla Kamoku, and Lindy Milkowski. Up next, BYU hosting Utah Valley tomorrow night at Miller Park.
Baseball lost to number 23 West Virginia 19-16. Runs aplenty in the final game of the series Saturday to win. The two teams combined to score 80 runs in the three-game series. Up next, BYU hits the road for 5 straight road games, beginning tomorrow in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Oral Roberts.
Let's stay with the boys of summer, shall we? Two former Cougars made their Major League Baseball debuts this weekend, including Daniel Schneemann, who yesterday went 1-for-1 with a solo home run and walked 3 times in a Cleveland Guardians 6-2 win over the Kansas City Royals. Justin Sterner, former Batcat, pitched twice for the Athletics against the Seattle Mariners, totaling 2 innings pitched, striking out 3 batters, walking 2, and allowing no hits across his 2 outings.
Justin's my neighbor. I was nervous and excited for him in that against my Mariners. He did great. Ashley Hatch scored 2 goals in a 2-0 win over Jamie Sheppard and Bay FC. Hatch's 3 goals this season right now are the most in the NWSL.
She scored those 2 goals in 5 minutes.
Nice.
That's what she does.
Quick work.
Men's and women's track and field competing at meets in Texas this weekend. Notably, Casey Klinger. How about this? Broke his coach Ed Eystone's 40-year-old school record in the 10K.
How about that?
Running a time of 27 minutes, 11 seconds. He was cooking. The men's 4x200 team also broke a school record with a time of 1:23 and 31 hundredths. And Marin Garnett tied the number 2 all-time mark in the pole vault, clearing 4.30 meters.
Peter Kim of men's golf was the co-winner at the Goodwin after shooting 5-under par across the 3 rounds. He led the field with 43 pars. BYU finished 4th place overall as a team. Kim will join us in the next segment to break it down. And women's golf tees off this morning at the USF Invitational in San Francisco.
BYU women's tennis beat number 39 Kansas. Yes, they're ranked that high in tennis. 4-3 to win the Cougars' 5th straight Big 12 match and pick up their 2nd ranked win of the season. Men's tennis falls short against number 15 Baylor 4-2 to fall to 1-4 in Big 12 competition this season. As mentioned, after the break, Peter Kim of BYU men's golf in studio to recap his 1st place finish at the Goodwin. He was outstanding. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and we now welcome in a man who's feeling good after an incredible performance at the Goodwin for BYU men's golf. He is Peter Kim. Peter, great to have you on the show.
Hello, Peter. Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
Congratulations on an outstanding performance.
Thanks.
How do you handle the pressure when you know what's on the line in those later holes? Because it just, not everybody can hack it, Peter. So how did you do it?
Yeah, so it kind of comes down to experience. Like, I've been in that position. I've just tried to put myself in that position a lot more. And I have been in that position a couple times this year already. And earlier in the year in Arizona, I was in the lead. And then some guy got hot, but I didn't really finish the best. I made 2 bogeys coming in my last 4 or 5 holes or something. You just learn from that and, you know, try to learn and improve and see like how you handle it and what happens. And kind of coming down the stretch, I didn't really feel too anxious or nervous. I felt a lot better than I did just because I've been in that position a lot more.
And did I see this right? No bogeys in the final round for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that, man? That's awesome. Team took 4th. Where has this team improved the most from last season, and what do you feel like you guys can do this year?
Yeah, so we got off to a super good start this year in Arizona and kind of had a couple iffy tournaments, if you say. Kind of some guys played good, some guys played bad, kind of didn't put it all together. But I think we're trending in the right direction right now. I think if we just figure out how to just all come together, you know, and just play solid golf, I think the rest of the year is going to be great.
Peter Kim, co-winner at the Goodwin Invitational, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We need to point out your hat, because every time a golfer comes on the show, whether it's a coach or player, we get like 50
Where's
requests.
That hat?
How can I buy that hat?
Yeah.
Todd Miller and company do it right. How do you feel about the BYU golf swag right now?
It's great. They do a super good job with the hats, and we get a lot of super nice gear. We're really grateful for all we get. Yeah.
It's kind of like the old school, like Cougar Peak Panther logo, 81 kind of vibes when they won the Natty.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You summon that energy a little bit when you wear that gear.
Yeah, for sure. We had a super cool hat this year. I think they might've got a little bit of in trouble for it.
A little too cool.
Yeah.
Some high heat swag.
I love that.
It's hot.
Come on. You got to bring it. Okay. What's up with the Skyline Pipeline? So it's you, it's Tyson Shelley, Simon Kwan. You guys all play together at Skyline. Now you're at BYU.
Yeah. So it's kind of a coincidence, actually. My older brother used to play junior golf. He's the same age as Tyson Simon. And he was originally going to go to West High, but then their golf team, like, they didn't have a golf team anymore that year. So he wanted to find somewhere where he could play golf. And he was kind of friends with Simon and Tyson, and they were like, just come to Skyline. It was open enrollment, and he ended up going there, and I just followed him, and yeah, from there it's just we're here now.
Yes, awesome. You are, and succeeding, to say the least. Okay, you opt to play for Todd Miller and Bruce Brockbank. You had plenty of options, Peter. Like, you're an outstanding iron player from what we've been told, one of the best ever at BYU. So what was their recruiting pitch like, and why did you pick BYU?
Yeah, so, you know, when I was recruited by Bruce and Todd, they kind of, you know, right from the get-go, they were super, super welcoming and super nice to me, and I really liked kind of the environment that I was going to be in if I came here, and I knew I could just focus on golf and school when I came here, and that's ultimately why I chose to come here, close to home, and I knew a lot of guys on the team already, so yeah, I think that's why.
Okay, you are a well-rounded individual. Tell us about what you do best. We got piano you're good at, cello, and you held the high school state record in the 100-meter breaststroke.
Yeah, what the heck, Peter?
You do, and you golf?
That fact actually is false.
Oh, dang it.
The swim was when I was seven.
When you were seven, you were an elite swimmer?
Yeah.
I'll still take it. When you're seven, you were awesome at something.
Yeah, not as cool as the high school.
Can you still tickle the ivories and play the cello?
I haven't since I quit, but I think I could still play it, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll have to bring a piano in next time.
He plays a different kind of music on the course.
Yes, he does, okay. Anchor boy.
Yes, he does. Peter, congratulations on everything. Wow, keep it up. Can't wait to have you back in here in studio again.
Thank you.
You got it. Peter Kim of men's golf. Yeah, fantastic.
He can do it all. We just sit here and talk. He can actually do stuff. If you miss any interview shows, Deep Blues, you can catch them on BYSN.com and the free BYU TV app. Hey, get the alumni game. Go watch that if you haven't seen it. It was awesome.
After the break, just found out moments ago, another BYU basketball player has entered the transfer portal. We will tell you who it is after this on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
When you see these guys doing their play calling and trying to come out here and run some plays on an hour's
I'm
work.
I'm criticizing every call. Worst play call ever.
Oh, no! Picked again!
Is that Blaine again?
Yeah, yes.
How many picks does Blaine have? Too many?
too many. He's on the clock. Got to get rid of it in four.
Trying to bring Navy back. Oh, a flag is down, however.
The big guy making the play. What did you see there?
I didn't see anything. It just fell in my hands. And then I fell on the ground.
Fahutahi.
I love Fahu, dude. He's
one of the greatest running backs I've ever seen in high school, ever.
Oh, Granger, right? Granger?
Yes.
Oh, they competed against Copper Hills. We were in the same region. I was like, who is that guy?
Fahutahi.
If you missed any of the BYU football alumni game, it was tons of fun. It's on BYSN.com, the free BYU TV app. Apparently, no immediate injuries, by the way, which is great.
Yeah, it's great. No reported injuries.
Yeah.
If you want to hear
now
Jake
there's
Retzloff,
probably some hammies on
absolutely
the Monday after.
Hammer the quarterback play. You should watch it.
Well, he probably got hammered throughout the season. Now he's giving it back.
Okay, a couple of notes. One, happy birthday to our friend Jason
Yeah,
Shepard.
29 years old. Can't believe it.
Outstanding.
Amazing.
For like 20 years running, I think.
Yep, he's a vampire.
Okay, and before we get to our question of the day, this just in.
Yep.
Joe Tipton of On3 Sports reporting that Elijah Crawford, BYU men's basketball point guard, has entered the transfer portal. What's your reaction to Elijah getting in the portal?
Bummer. Wanted to see what he could do. But, again, this is you're going to bring in as much talent as you can, and sometimes you just don't have room for everybody to get the minutes they want. Mm.
Our question of the day, what's your top priority for BYU men's basketball this offseason? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from at Caleb Pugh on X, who says, get Richie to stay, please. Having a proven guy who knows the system and that was leading scorer on the Sweet 16 team playing alongside the number one freshman in the country would be the ultimate dynamic duo.
Maybe we'll play it for you tomorrow, but A.J. DuBonsa was at a McDonald's All-American press conference during the show, and he talked about playing with Richie and how cool it would be. He said, Richie's got to do what he's got to do, but it'd be fun to play with him.
AJ's put in his plugs a few times.
Yes, he has.
No doubt about it. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Couple guys. Casey Klinger breaking Ed Eisen's 40-year-old record in the 10K. Number 5 NCAA all-time, by the way. And men's basketball signee Chamberlain Burgess got his mission call to El Paso. Congratulations. He leaves in July.
All the things happening.
So many things.
Just a nice, soft settle into the offseason, right?
No! There's no... What are you talking about in the offseason? All this stuff.
Are you kidding
there's
me?
There's lots to talk about.
Did you watch what transpired with BYU Athletics over the last athletic calendar year? Yeah, plenty to talk about during the summer.
We didn't wake up and think we were getting a high-level linebacker or more portal news or women's basketball coach Lee Kamara.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That all happened this morning.
And Lee deserves another shout-out for that as well.
Absolutely.
Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham of ESPN and Peter Kim of BYU Men's Golf.
Sorry, Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton, and a shout-out to Keith Clearwater of Men's Golf. We'll see you tomorrow for more BYUSN. What's going to happen overnight? Go Cougs!